Welcome to Words of Grace, radio ministry of Elder Ben Winslet, pastor of the Flint River Primitive Baptist Church near Huntsville, Alabama. We invite you to stay tuned to today's broadcast.
We're delighted to have you in our listening audience today, and it would be a pleasure if we could hear from you, if you listen over the airwaves or over the internet. It's always delightful to hear from one of our radio listeners. You can find information for how to contact us by going to our church website, which is found at flintriverpbc.org. Again, that's flintriverpbc.org. And we do most certainly look forward to hearing from you soon.
Through which pilgrims make their way, but beyond.
Over the next two broadcasts, we hope to share a message with you that I delivered last weekend at Flint River Primitive Baptist Church entitled Burning the Dross. I've recently been reflecting on the fact that, biblically speaking, afflictions can be in our lives much like the sort of fire that burns the dross out of a precious metal. And as we are nearing the end of a year that's been very difficult, I think that it's important for us to understand that these afflictions that are raging around us in the world can actually be things that strengthen us, that make us stronger. We can become better disciples through growing in this affliction. So with that thought in mind, we share with you this week's message, part one of Burning the Dross. I want to begin today by reading a simple, short proverb as we introduce our subject to you. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4, "Take away the dross from silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." Our message this morning is entitled, Burning the Dross, Burning the Dross, and is really a collection of thoughts that I have had and meditated on over the past week as I've reflected on everything that has taken place this year, everything that is taking place in the world today, and the opportunity that we have anytime we find affliction to grow in grace because of the afflictions that we are facing. We have seen so much trouble as a country in 2020, and we sometimes isolate ourselves in our mind to what we experience as a country, but the world has seen great trouble this year. We have had a pandemic that is still yet with us that isn't going away anytime soon. We have seen violence in our streets. We have the uncertainties and the animosities and the bitterness and the anger that always comes with a political cycle. If you just look at the country around us, it is a year of many afflictions. And because of that, that's why things such as suffering and repentance and humbling ourselves has been such a part of what I've tried to share with you from the pulpit throughout this year. You know, during the first Sunday that we didn't meet, that we only live streamed during the shutdown, we began a series on 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and the fact that if we find ourselves afflicted, we are to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways, and we'll find healing in that. As we think about all of the human types of controversy and fussings and fightings and afflictions, you also have so many tropical storms in a year. And on top of that, you have just millions of acres that are burning out west. It really is a time of great suffering in our country today. But as we look at all of these troubles that are around us in the world, there are three basic reactions that we can have to the adversity that faces us. And mark my word, we're all thinking about the adversity that we hear about on the news, but I know enough about your personal lives to know that every single one of you has enough adversity, enough trial, enough stress in your life that there are times that you're not thinking about the fatality rate of a virus. You're not thinking about wildfires. You're not thinking about hurricanes. You're thinking about the disease that you're facing. You're thinking about the loss of a loved one or a potential loss of a loved one. You're thinking about maybe a stroke that you've suffered, or a heart attack, or a tumor, or a family member's cancer. And so whether we're talking about the micro or the macro scale, if we're talking about the individual or we're talking about the nation in general or our church as a body of people, there's enough at any given time to drive us into our rooms, close the door, lock the door, close the blinds, close the curtains, and simply sit there in the middle of our room worrying about what is taking place in the world around us. There are real troubles in the world. Now, there are three reactions that we can have to the troubles that we face. Number one, the troubles that we experience can break you. There are people that you know and that I know who have been broken by the troubles. It has broken them. The troubles that we experience, and I believe we're seeing this to a great degree in America today, can make you bitter. Bitterness is a poison to your soul. It is a murderer of your joy. It will rob you of your enjoyment of your family. It will take away the joy you have in your employment. It will ruin your experience in church. It has ruined pastorates because pastors can get bitter because of the things that they experience. Bitterness is a destroyer. Sometimes when we experience this sort of a year, the reaction that we have to the trouble is to become bitter. Other terms that you might use would be callous. Trials as we're experiencing right now can make us bitter or callous or cynical. It can make us paranoid. It can make us any number of things that relate to bitterness, being burned. Have you ever heard the expression, I was burned in that? What do you mean? It means that it hurt and it left me calloused over where the wound was. We can be burned. We can become bitter. Or lastly, the afflictions that we experience can make us stronger. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, that the experience that we have right now, all of the trials, all of the tribulations, whether personally, and I know some of the personal struggles that folks here have had to endure, or if we're talking about our community, our state, our nation, or our world, the struggles that we go through can make us stronger people. We often hear it said that what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, and that's not necessarily the case. Because if I become bitter, I'm not stronger, I'm weaker. If it breaks me, if I end up defeated, have you ever seen someone who had the defeated mindset? They're just defeated. If it breaks me, I'm not stronger. But I can grow stronger through the process of being afflicted if my mentality is correct, if my mentality is right. Now, we read for you Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Silver is purified, much like gold is purified. Precious metals are purified through heating them up, melting them down, and the impurities that were in that metal or on that metal are burned away. And so you have a purer product after the fire has purged it, if you will. Now, there are some terms that we want to give you today, and they're words that we use every day, but I think you'll be amazed at how some of these everyday words that we use convey this concept to us of purifying silver by way of fire, purifying silver or gold, that which is precious by way of fire. And as we talk about this today, purifying that which is precious by way of fire, understand that the afflictions that we experience in this world are the fires. Or as Peter would say in 1 Peter, which is one of the last passages that we're going to look at today, 1 Peter chapter 1, the fiery trials that afflict us. Now, this word try is one and tried and trial that we're going to use several times today. And I want to turn over to the book of Psalms 66 and verse 10. For thou, O God, hast proved us, thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Now, we use the word try today and we mean to attempt something. Nice try. Try here has reference to the purification process of a precious metal. Now, what are some other ways that we use the word tried in our modern contemporary English language today? This is modern English, by the way, but in our contemporary English. A person who is suspected of a crime is tried in court, and that process is referred to as a what? A trial. That's a synonym. It's another use of that same term, tried. Another interesting synonym of the word try is attempt. The word attempt comes from the word tempt, which is a synonym for test, which is a synonym for try. We use these words every day and we don't realize that the very language attempt or test or try many times finds its use in the arena of afflictions that burn away the dross in our lives. I would encourage you to go study the etymology of these particular words and learn where these words came from. This word, try, I believe came from a French word that has meaning to sift. Well, it's another similar concept. What do you do with wheat to get all of the shell and all of the stalk and everything else that is in the wheat? You sift it, and what do you have? You have a pure product afterwards. The word try comes from a French word meaning to sift. And so these words are all linked. They're all related in our language, and they convey to us this truth that so many times as Americans we don't like to hear. The most popular form of Christianity in America today says that God wants you to be wealthy and happy. Now, God wants you to have joy in Christ, but it's notwithstanding your circumstance. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that I would be a multimillionaire driving around in a Bugatti. He died on the cross to deliver me from my sin into a pure world without iniquity in His personal presence, and that is what the gospel is all about. We in America like to think that Christ is a means to an end of the modern American dream of having as much stuff and wealth and ease as we can have, but God many times has called His children to serve Him through affliction and adversity. Sometimes He gives us affliction and adversity to chasten us or to teach us. That's a biblical thing. I could read for you the passages from the book of Hebrews about the Lord scourging every son whom He receiveth. That's a form of affliction, and it's so we would be what? We would be holy, so that we would be growing in holiness. Thou, O God, hast proved us, synonym for trying, hast tried us as silver is tried. Now, towards the end of our message today, as we talk about personal sufferings, we'll see, and personal afflictions, we'll see that there are temptations that you and I experience that God is not behind. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. And I was going to save that for the last point, but I'm going to give it to you early, because I want you to understand that God never solicits us to sin, but in this world, there are afflictions that are at least used. Sometimes there are afflictions that are sent to purify us, to teach us, and by virtue of that, to strengthen us. You think about it, the weightlifter who wants to get stronger has to present himself with adversity, with resistance to tear down the muscle, so the muscle builds back up stronger. We know this in every area of life, but sometimes we don't realize or think to apply it to our afflictions. We grow stronger in afflictions if our mindset is biblical and correct. Do you want to be a stronger believer? Do you want to be a stronger disciple? Do you want to be a stronger Christian? And I believe we would all say yes. That's why we're here on a beautiful Sunday morning, in the middle of a pandemic, wearing masks and skipping rows and using three rooms to hold everybody. Praise God, it takes three rooms to hold everybody. The adversity we experience gives us the opportunity to grow if our mentality is correct. And so today's message is as much about growth as it is anything else. It's interesting in Psalm 66, the first half of this psalm deals with what the psalmist refers to as the terrible works of God. Now, that ought to make you stop and ask the question, terrible works of God? The word terrible here doesn't mean bad. As we think about it, if someone hears something they don't want to do, they might be inclined to say, that's terrible. Go clean your room. That's terrible. You've got to take your shots. That's terrible. Take your antibiotic, three-year-old. That's terrible. You got to wake up and go to work tomorrow because it's Monday. That's terrible. Terrible here, the root is terror, and it doesn't have reference to something that's just bad. It has reference to something that is terrifying. Now, I want you to understand that our God is a consuming fire. God is terrifying.
There are things that God has done in the world that ought to cause us to stop and tremble in our shoes. There are people that were in the firsthand presence of God and they fall on their face. Jesus, as they come to arrest him, simply says, "I am," and they fall back on the ground. And he's God incarnate. God's works are terrifying. The first half of this psalm deals with the terrifying, if you will, terrible acts of God in the world. The last portion of this psalm deals with our response to that. And right in the middle of both of these thoughts is this idea of being tried by God as silver is tried. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through thy greatness, through the greatness of thy power, shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men." Again, terrifying. Now, we begin to learn specific instances, and this helps us place the application of this psalm to the time after the deliverance from Egypt, because the psalmist apparently has this particular era of time in mind. He turned the sea into dry land. When did he do that? When that Red Sea was parted because God sent a strong wind and they passed over, as it were, on dry ground. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but that was a time of great affliction for the people of Israel. There was affliction there. "He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins." God had given them affliction to teach them. And then, for the remainder of this, beginning in verse 13, you have all of these statements. "I will go to the house of the Lord with burnt offerings." Affliction ought to drive us to the house of God. Affliction ought to drive us to the house of God. Whether it's affliction we bring on ourselves, affliction that's common to man, or affliction that God has sent upon us, either to chasten us or to teach us, affliction ought to drive us to God's house. "I will go to the house, to thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt offerings and sacrifices of fatlings and incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." More declarations of what the psalmist is going to do. "I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue." He was lifted up. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Affliction works in our lives as fire burning away the dross from the silver. Regardless of whether the affliction is something that we bring in ourselves or something that is God sent. By the way, God has sent affliction many times in human history. That's, again, a part of this Americanized idea. I don't know if it's prosperity gospel or deism or what the issue is, but you cannot read the Old Testament and say God never sends affliction on people. Think about the afflictions of the context of Psalm 66 being them going through on dry ground. They're passing through on dry ground and God is delivering them. What happens to the people who are chasing them? They'd been afflicted in all kinds of ways, and all it did was work to harden them. These afflictions sometimes are sent for a reason, and in every affliction we can grow. It's kind of amazing that from this psalm we gather that some of the afflictions that God sent were on one hand for the destruction of an enemy, and on the other hand, an act of deliverance to his people. Because God is working in the world. As the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on Words of Grace, consider this your invitation to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. An online directory is available at marchtozion.com. Copies of this and other broadcasts are available for download on iTunes and on our website. And finally, Words of Grace is a listener-supported program. To contact us, address your correspondence to Words of Grace Radio, 641 Moontown Road, Brownsboro, Alabama, 35741, or visit us online at flintriverpbc.org.